we bow our heads just for a further word of prayer. Okay. Let's look to the Lord together for this evening. Father, we do want to commit this time to you. Not just our time. Above all, we desire to commit our hearts to you. That you may speak to us. That indeed we may hear your voice. Remove from us all that is not of you. Lord, we do pray that you clear the air. Give us an open heaven tonight. Lord, make this weekend a truly spiritual inward meeting of our hearts with your heart. Thank you that you sovereignly brought us to this place. We believe you have a purpose you desire to accomplish. And corporate, we say to you, Lord, accomplish it for your glory and unto your praise and for the building up of your church, your testimony on this earth. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Do reign and rule over this meeting tonight. We acknowledge you as our Lord, as our King. And together we submit to you. Thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. It's so good to be here with you, young brothers and sisters. When I received news from Richmond that the registration for this weekend is on the constant increase, and I just couldn't believe it. First I heard about 80, and I think altogether we have about 100 so brothers and sisters from out of the Richmond area. So when I look at that list, and we have 10 groups, about 15 to 16 in each group, the thought came to me is this is Kinbrook part 2, almost like Kinbrook but in a different location. We're very thankful. Now, the purpose for this weekend, just share a little bit. We were down here in November for the Richmond Conference Planning Session. And on that Lord's Day, a few brothers, we ate lunch together and were sharing how are we going to use this time, this weekend, for the Lord. And as we were sharing our hearts together, and I think it was Brother John Blanchard, he said, we need to have a time, like the psalmist, when you read Psalm, and you read through certain verses, and then there's a small word, Selah. Just stop for a moment, pause, and reflect. And brothers and sisters, this life that we have in this country, the lifestyle we have in this world, gives us no time to have selahs anymore. We are so occupied with things that are so unnecessary, passing away, perishing, fleeting. Nothing is eternal. And brothers and sisters, we need to redeem the time. Take time out. And reflect before the Lord. We will learn greatly from the Lord and from each other if we will just quiet our hearts, our spirit, and reflect and fellowship. So this evening and tomorrow and part of the Lord's Day is just a time that we enjoy that Selah together. Just quiet our hearts, be reflected before the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to freely move into our hearts, teaching us, adjusting us, show us more of himself, And above all, set us free from the things we occupy, we think so necessary. In fact, there's only one thing that's necessary. As the Lord told Mary, to sit at my feet and listen to my word. That's one thing we are very much lacking. So this waking is just a time we sit quietly before the Lord and have a time of reflection. Now this word sila means you just pause and meditate. Now this art of meditation is a lost art. Somehow we think life should just be occupied with momentums. You know, people cannot sit down and reflect anymore. Somehow you think life should just keep going. It's just a machinery. But that's not Christian life. Christian life begins with rest. Christian life basically is a life of rest, of peace. When you're at peace with God, you are at rest. And so, brothers and sisters, so this word sila means we pause, reflect, consider, reconsider. Even the things we heard before, but as we consider, reconsider, those things will sink deep into our hearts and become real to us. The reason why spiritual matters, the reason why many of the brothers and sisters are living a very spiritual, superficial life, because we lack sila. We do not meditate, we do not allow what we hear or what we heard to sink deeper into us and become life to us, become experience to us. So I hope and pray that this weekend the Lord will touch our hearts, show us something of Himself, and we are here to meditate and to reflect together. So as I was waiting before the Lord, the epistle of Peter came to mind. Because the epistle of Peter he wrote to the saints that gathered throughout the ancient Roman world. And Peter called them, they were foreigners and aliens. They're living in the world, and they are not of the world. They are very conscious of that. And so Paul, or Peter, wrote the two epistles to encourage them how to live a separated life. How to live a separated life. Christian life basically is a separated life. Now this life is foreign to us. This life that we have as believers, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this divine life we possess, is all foreign to us, all new to us. It was something that was never here on this earth until the Lord Jesus came and He showed us what that life is all about. We never had it here before until He came. And He showed that life and He showed us how to live that life. So let's look at Peter 2. Just one word that stood out before me the last few weeks as I was meditating before the Lord. Now this word mentioned three times in Peter's second epistle. This word mentioned three times in Peter's second epistle. Would you turn to second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. It's a very simple word. It is a very important word. And I hope you young people will go back and read this epistle and see how this word is used in the context that Paul tried to share with believers in those days. The first mention of this word we find in chapter 1 verse 5. Chapter 1 verse 5 of 2 Peter. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so forth. Now the word I want you to dwell is this. Giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Now the second mention of this word diligence find in verse 10. and we'll dwell on this verse 10 this evening. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's the second mention. And there's one more mention in chapter 3, but we'll not touch that. But what we'll dwell tonight is just on chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, this word diligent, if you have different translation, it comes across in a different way, different change of meaning. In some versions say, work hard. Make every effort. Try very hard. Now, this word diligent is not for lazy people. Now, we heard Brother Kong mention it. He said it was moody. He said, a lazy person can never be saved. And Paul is encouraging the saints. He said, make every effort, even more diligently, giving all diligence. Work hard. Make every effort. Why? Because this is vital. And Peter says, if you do this diligently to make your calling election sure, he said, there's something promising. He said, then if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, one of the reasons why we stumble as Christians, because we do not diligently to make sure what we are called or chosen unto. That's our problem. But we are not sure who we are. So when the wind blows this way, you toss that way. When the wind blows, you toss that way. Unstable. Not sure. Not sure. And Peter's challenge to the believer, he say, give all diligence to it. To make sure that call that you have received. And why you were chosen. Now, call is general to everybody. But when it comes to the matter of election and choosing, it's very individualized. It is how you respond to that call determines whether you are chosen or not chosen. God calls you. He chooses you. He knows what He's doing. But when you hear the call, and you may make a response, but sometimes you are unsure, not very sure, of what that call really involves. And what you are really chosen unto. You are not sure. And because we are not sure, we stumble. And the problem with many of our Christians is because we are not sure of that call. What we are chosen unto, therefore we stumble. And so during our November time together, there's a need for young people to come together through this winter month. Because in the summer we have many conferences. A lot of you came to Richmond Family Conference in June. Later you went to Lebanon for the Young People's Conference in Kimbrook. So in the summer, you're spiritually high. You feel good. Fellowship with God's people. You feel wonderful. Then in the fall, you all go back to your school. And there goes your decline. And there's all your stumbling, your failing, your falling. And so the brethren feel there's a time for us to get together through this winter weeks, through this winter weekend, when out there is very cold. Just to come to reflect together spiritually. At least in my part, this call, this choosing of us. Now, basically, this life that we have, we are called to, we are chosen unto, to have his life. We are called to possess his life. It's a matter of life and death. And to have his life and to have it more abundant. Life. Not just teaching. Life to live. Life to express. Life to experience. His life. We are called to life. And we are chosen to live that life and to express that life. That's our calling. We have a wrong conception when you think about calling and choosing. We think you're called to do something for the Lord. That is a wrong conception. Because all the other service, gifts and ministry comes from that life. Sometimes I feel we share with young people prematurely, share with them about gifting and ministry without basically giving what that life is all about. So when they go back, try to serve, they rely a great deal on their natural energy and they face many frustrations and disappointments. But life is basic. Now I hope, brothers and sisters, all of us here in this room, we are possessors of that life. That is fundamental. Now, this life basically is a separated life. Because you cannot find it here in this world. It's apart from what we have down here. It's divine life, it's God's life. So when you live that life, people find it very strange. Because they never witnessed anything like it. It's new to them. And no wonder we are strangers and pilgrims. We are strangers to the people of the world because we live a separate life, because that life possesses us, operating in us, living in us, through us. Now this weekend we're here away from the world. Thank God for that. But physically. But are we separated inwardly? It's not an external thing, but it's an inward thing. Externally, it's put on. But when there's inward separation, then that is real. It's within. Now, so this evening, I'll share briefly just a little bit of what this life is like. Because we have this life, my brother and sister, then we can walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Then we can have fellowship one with another. That's all we're here this weekend. To fellowship. It's because we have this life, we can fellowship in the light. Now I pray and hope as Brother Dan I share tomorrow, Brother Kong and Alan Hill, the Lord's light will shine upon us. God is light. In his light we see light. This weekend in South Jersey, one brother shared, to be guided by the Lord, first you must be found in his way. And he'll guide you. To see light, you must have that light. Only that life can live in that light. Because if we come to that light with our natural life, that light will kill us. That light will judge us. Because that light is God himself, the holiness, God's holy. And so, Barnes, this week we have fellowship. Now, when we fellowship, Barnes, there's a great deal of adjustment we need to have in our power. Fellowship is a life adjusting to the Lord. I want you to prepare to be adjusted. You know, some people say when you're older, you are more set in your way. It's harder for you to make adjustment. But I'm not so sure anymore. I find some young people are very set in their way. very much. So once habit is formed, it is very difficult to make any adjustment, whether you are young or old. So if we walk in the light as He Himself in the light, and this study process enables us to walk in that light, to fellowship with one another, and particularly with God. Therefore, on our part, there's a great deal of need for adjusting. Now, concept is, are we prepared for spiritual adjusting? That is fellowship. Because when that light comes, it exposes in us that which is not of Him, which is not pleasing to Him. But at the same time, that light shows us a way out, the Lord Jesus. So that we can have fellowship, and His light can be in us and live through us. And we can live a life that's pleasing to Him, and that fellowship can be maintained. So fellowship is a level of adjusting. So this weekend, I pray through the sharing of the brothers and sisters, we will be willing to make any adjustment the Lord requires of us. That's how we get to know Him. That's how we learn Him, by adjusting us to Him, not for Him to adjust Him to us. Because He's unchanging. All the changing required on our part, not on His part. So, brothers, I pray and hope that today, this evening, as we fellowship prayer, and tomorrow, we need to come before the Lord. Allow the Lord to tune us, adjusting us. That is fellowship. That's how we get to know Him. Our life before the Lord is a life that is flexible. That He can adjust us, change us into His likeness. So, brothers, don't be set on your way. So every time we come to conference like this, may the Lord set us free from our old concepts, old ways of thinking, old habits. Trusting the Lord can do a new thing with all of us. Young ones as well as we older ones. We all need an adjustment. So that life in us allow us to live in that light. But when that light comes, then we adjust. More to Himself. And as John put it, we decrease that He might have His increase. It's a constant thing we need to experience every day. Okay, so this is the first thing. Now, the second thing about this life is not earthly. When we believe in Lord Jesus, we came out of darkness into His light. As Paul puts it, we are lifted up out of the earthly, we are now taken up into the heavenly, where Christ is. Colossians 3 all to us that we are not below, we are where Christ is. Therefore, he said, we must set our minds to God, to be mindful of the things above. Now, this life enables us not just to live in the light, but this life gives us the ability to occupy with the things that are above, not the things below. You think of it, now my young brother said, how much of your time is occupied with the things of the Lord? You think about that. Things that are passing. Things have no eternal value. You think about that. And how much of our time are really occupied with things that are really of value? Heavenly things, spiritual things. Now, if you live by that life that's given to you, divine life, eternal life, God's gift through Jesus Christ, indwelling by the Holy Spirit, we can walk in the light, thank God for that. But we're also given the ability to mind the things above, thinking about things that are real, of real value, to the Lord. Things that are real eternal value. That will last and last forever. Not just temporal, passing by. You know, in Genesis, first day of creation, it was separation. of light and darkness. So when God comes in, there's that separation. We are out of darkness, we are not into light. Second day, there's also separation. The waters below the firmament and the waters above the firmament. So we become a heavenly people. We are not the earthly people anymore. But if you read Genesis 1, you discover when God said, let there be light, and there was a light, God said it was good, and it was so. So you can more or less put it this way, Genesis is a book about God's will, God's purpose. So His purpose is to have light and to have life. Then second day, the separation of the waters above and below. And in the middle there is an atmosphere. Okay? Now, for instance, we are above, we are not below. We've been separated. He took us out of the world into Himself. We are now in His kingdom, where Christ is. And then Paul said, we should be mindful of the things above, not the things below. Now, for instance, yes, we have a problem here. If you read Genesis, first day God said it was good and it was so, but you read carefully, you know, in second day there was no mention it was good. Because later on, if you read Paul's epistle, because Satan is the prince of the air. Yes, we are above, but he's the prince of the air, and he will do all he can, what? To bring us down, what? To the things that are earthly. Therefore, the pull is always there. Now, this pull is not just you feel it when you are young, older folks too. It's always there. Therefore, we have to fight. We have to diligently make sure our calling, make sure our light is up there and stay there. And not to be pulled down by Satan, by the attraction of this earth. Constitute, it takes hard work to know where you belong and stay there and not compromising. It's hard work. It's not easy. Because the temptation sometimes just overwhelming. But you have to resist. But before you can resist, you must know your position. Then you can resist. Because you are in Christ in the heavenlies. And Satan cannot touch Christ, therefore he cannot touch you. But make sure you know you are in Him. So make all diligence to make sure you're called, you're choosing. In Christ. Abide in there. Stay there. Not come out of you. Then you have that assurance. That through His life, you can overcome. Now, another characteristic of this life is light out of death. This life can enjoy light and fellowship with God. Thank God for that. This life enables us to mind the things above. Things that are really important, of real value. Thank God for that. But this life is also life out of death. Now, brothers, this world is full of death. Everything that you've got, the consequence of sin is death. If you are not a Christian, you are not so much aware of the evil that's out there. But once you're a Christian, that awareness is getting sharper and sharper. You know, the Lord's Prayer toward the end, He said, lead us into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. Only as Christians, we know the evil that's out there. And our prayer is the Lord will deliver us from the evil that's out there. Unfortunately, Satan is very cunning. Sometimes he appears as the angel of light. He knows how to camouflage himself. He's very good in the art of packaging his goods. But with that wonderful packaging, inside is a poison. Death. You know, I always remind the saints where we fellowship. In this last day, the Lord needs to renew us a consciousness of what evil is really like. That we know how to resist. We know how to avoid it. Because we saw so much of it, we get used to it. And we lose that consciousness. Then the danger is that we compromise. There's real danger. And also because we are the Lord's, Satan particularly targeting his enticement on us. People of the world, he doesn't need to entice them, tempt them. They are already in his hand, in his grasp. But we are his target. And therefore the Lord's Prayer, he told us, he said, this thing we need to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us every day from the evil that's out there. Everywhere is death. But thank God, in the midst of that, the Lord is a way for us, a life out. I'm sure many of you young people experience in your school, in your situation, and some impossible situation you face, but somehow in the end you get through. That's his life. That's his life. So on the third day, the land appears. Speak of resurrection. And from that land there's a fruitfulness. Because we have trees, fruit producing trees. Because that is resurrection life. So this life is a resurrection life that death cannot touch. Sin cannot touch. And the Lord wants us to experience that. Now this life is not just for old folks. This life is a life for every believer. Every one of us. We need to experience. We need to possess. So on this third day, the Lord said it was good two times. Because it's his life expressed. And there's a fruitfulness. Something that satisfies God's heart. Life reproduced in us. That life reproduced in others. So this weekend is just for this purpose. Through our time together, through our fellowship, we ask the Lord to enlighten us. Now, brothers, are you prepared? When he shines his light upon us, we need to make adjustment. There are things we may think it's okay to do, but when that light comes, we know it's not right to do. It's not pleasing to him. Are we prepared to make the adjustment? If we want to know him and follow him, in business with him, are we prepared? When his light comes, always convict us. Because we're still full of flesh. But thank God his light comes is not to convict us, but it's to restore us. Love and mercy is behind it. So don't be afraid. That's how we get to know him. And that life, we can mind the things above. And that's how we're here this weekend. Through our fellowship, we may know, discover what God wants and go after. You know, this Harvey Silver Conference, some of you came to Harvey Silver Conference, and Brother Ben Ash shared the first evening. He said, in this matter of going on with the Lord, we have here that aggressive spirit. I want it. We lack that. We are too passive. We wait for something to happen. But Peter was, make diligent. Work hard. Make effort to make sure what you have is real. So this week we are here to discover what is real. The things that are above. The things that will last forever. And we are here to help each other to discover that. We know something, but there's so much more we need to know. And that's what this weekend is for fellowship. So that when we go back to our different localities, back to school, we have a definite goal for our living. We have a different direction for being a Christian. And Paul said, if we can make sure of that, of our calling, election, then we will not stumble. And above all, lastly, he said, this world is full of death. Everywhere you encounter sin and death, corruption, sin and the flesh. But in the midst of that, there's that life that comes through. Now, I'm not saying we are perfect, but somehow in this sinful, corrupt, old creation, light comes through. And we know it's not us, it's Him. And that we can experience. And so we pray and hope that this weekend the Lord really bless us. And I hope you all come prepare. I know some 15 or so, how many from Houston? 14 from Houston. They drove two days to stop overnight somewhere or get through. Okay, 2 days from Houston, just for 1 day of weekend, 2 days here. What an effort. And may the Lord bless those who came such a long way. And then that is diligent. That is working hard to get here. And may the Lord really, meet us in such a wonderful way. Now, Toronto, they drove 15 hours straight through to come to this weekend. Now, what makes us an effort? Why people make such an effort? Just come for one day tomorrow. Why do you think they make such an effort? What do you think? Aren't there more interesting places in Toronto you can go? Ice skiing, all that sort of thing. Go to Chinese restaurants. I mean, aren't there better things to do than come here? No. You see? Chip said no. Because it's here what? We fellowship in the light as He Himself in the light. There's no place like it to be in the light and have fellowship. Wonderful place to be. Because out there is all darkness. We have the light. We're going to share that light together. Out there is all earthly. Things that are death, dying. But we can touch heavenly. We touch light. That's all we're here. It's worth it. Coming from Houston. Coming from Toronto. Now, how about Memphis? How long did it take to get here? You flew, right? You flew, right? That's why. That's luxury. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay. That's not the way to go to the kingdom. Into the kingdom. No flight. No bus. No. How many of you walked here? Nobody. Okay. But anyway, this journey, a pilgrim's journey, is a walk. Whether you fly or you come by bus, spiritually, it's a walk. And we need each other. That's why we're here. For instance, none of us can make it alone. But together, by His grace, we'll make it. That's why we're here. And so thank the Lord. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. When I reflect the past few conferences, Kinbrook, Toronto, Canada, and my heart just overflowed with joy. Knowing that in this evil generation, this last days, God is getting a hold of hearts for Himself. Thank God for that. It's His work. And praise the Lord. So the Lord bless you. And tomorrow you have your host, team family, will serve you a good breakfast. And tomorrow is a big day. Big day. Now before I sit down, tomorrow afternoon, when we have our time with Brother Kong, is a question and answer time, right? Is that what we plan, Mac, John? Is question and answer time, or Brother Kong share? for Brother Kong, okay, and also pray for yourself that the question you ask will be helpful to all young brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? Okay? Don't be selfish. Just for yourself. But whatever you ask, make sure will be beneficial to all young brothers, including me. Okay? All right. Okay.